today as we come to the table.
Pray for their eyes to be open, but then once their eyes are open, pray this: God, give them a soft heart that they'll receive. Because my eyes were open 2 years before I received Christ. They were opened. I knew it was true. I ran for 2 more years. So pray, and by God's grace, my time didn't run out, and you know, he had mercy on me and I made it into the kingdom. But pray that God will open eyes, and then pray that God will soften a heart. That's key. But if we don't understand that, then we can become extremely frustrated, because over the years, especially as a baby Christian, I would get so frustrated. Why can't you see this? It's not that hard. And yet they look at you like you're from outer space.
If you've placed your faith in Christ and received his gift of salvation, you've become a citizen of a vastly different kingdom than anything here on earth. Because when you live in the grace that characterizes this kingdom, it's going to turn some heads. Some may be drawn in, but many will be driven away by their hard hearts. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. As Pastor Mark will explain, you can't control anyone else's heart any more than they can yours. Sadly, though, many people have formed a view of God that leads them to reject him, no matter how much grace he extends. All you can do is faithfully share his truth with them and pray for their heart to be softened. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 8, as he continues his message entitled, Like Father, Like Son.
Probably most of us in this room are saying, well, I'm accepting it. I wouldn't even be here today if I wasn't. But let me ask you this, are you accepting all of it? Jesus is all of the Bible, and all of the Bible is Jesus. Are you one of those that would say, well, I believe parts of it, but I don't believe all of it? If you're doing that, you're rejecting Jesus. No, I'm not rejecting him. I just don't believe that part. No, Jesus said this, it is written of me in the volume of the book. Translation, I am in all of the Bible. Every page, every word, every jot, every tittle. If there's any part of it you reject, you're rejecting me. And yet how many people today will choose the parts they like and reject the other parts they like? And isn't it interesting, for the people who choose the parts they like, they'll say something like, well, I believe that part was truly inspired by God, but I don't believe this part was. Really? You're the one that makes the final decision. You're the one that can determine which part is God's word and which part is not? No, only God does that. And anyone that starts determining which part is God's word and which part is not, they are making themselves the authority rather than God being the authority. And so the Lord here again is correcting them. Notice their response. They claim God is their father. At the same time, they continue mocking Jesus. And again, this is how a lot of people will treat us today as we share the truth. And he nails it further down. Look at verse 42. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. So he says, here's another way you can know if you're a child of God. You'll love Jesus. And we already mentioned that, but there's going to be that natural love for Jesus. Again, yes, it takes work, and yes, we have times where things are drier than others, but we're going to love him. And if we don't love him, it proves that we don't belong to him and that we don't know him. He says, why do you not understand my speech? He's going to tell them why. Look at this. They're not getting a word he said. You ever talk to people and you're sharing your faith and they just don't get it? No matter how basic and simple it seems to you. I mean, you can share some of the most basic things of Scripture and they just don't see it. He now tells us why. Look at this. Here's why that you can't understand what it is that I'm saying. Look at the end of verse 43. Because you are not able, I have that underlined, this is huge, you are not able to listen to my word. Guys, why is this so huge? The word able here is very interesting. What it means is ability, capacity, or power. What he's saying is you don't have the ability, the capacity, or the power to understand God's word, because that only comes through God opening the eyes so you can understand it. This is why when you're sharing with your family and your friends and you're trying so hard to convince them of what is so clear to you, they just don't see it. They just don't agree. They just don't get it. I don't read it that way. That's your interpretation. I'm glad it worked for you. Their eyes are closed. They are not able to hear the words of God until God opens their eyes. It is spiritually discerned. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says this. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. This is it. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So when you gather together at Thanksgiving or Christmas or just generally at work or whoever you're talking to, and they think that you're nuts or they think you're narrow-minded or they think you're this or they think you're that, it's because, understand this, believer, they don't have the ability to see what you see. Now, the next thing is, well, then what do we do about that? I thought we're supposed to share the gospel. And if they don't have the ability to see, then why am I even sharing it? Because here's what happens. As you share the word of God and they get convicted, then they begin to, some of them, cry out to God and say, God, let me, if you're real, I want to know you're real. God, show me that you're real. Show me that you're there. That's exactly what happened to me. I had no ability to understand or see God's word. But again, as Tracy and others begin to share with me, I begin to say things like this. All right, God, well, you know, I mean, I want to, you know you, and I think I'm going to heaven because I grew up in church and I'm a preacher's kid and all that good stuff, but if there's more here and something I need to see, then God, show me, help me understand it. And God opened my eyes. See, I opened my heart as people witnessed to me, and then God opened my eyes. So as you're sharing with them, it gives a chance for God to open their heart, for them to begin to be open to God. And what you need to be doing is praying while you're talking with them. God, open their eyes. Lift the veil that blinds them. Let them see the truth, Lord. Lift that veil and continue to pray for them that God will do that. Because until God does that, they have no chance of coming to Christ or believing the word of God. It is a supernatural event where God has to lift the veil. And again, for some reason, this doesn't seem like a strong enough example to me, but it is the best one I know. It's like a blind person. I don't care how much you tell them what something looks like. They can't really get it. They can try to imagine a little bit. In some instances, they can run their hands around it and feel what something may feel like. But until you see it, you don't really know. And so they get around you and you're telling them, and they're kind of blindly groping, going, I kind of get an idea and a feel of what you're saying your relationship is, and it's way different than mine. I don't understand this. I've never felt this or touched this kind of thing before, but I'd like to understand that if there's really something more. And then we pray for God to open their eyes, and God gives them the ability. Now their eyes are open and they have a choice to make. By the way, I encourage you, when you pray for your family and friends, not just to have their eyes open, pray for their eyes to be open, but then once their eyes are open, pray this, God, give them a soft heart that they'll receive. Because my eyes were open 2 years before I received Christ. They were opened. I knew it was true. I ran for 2 more years. So pray, and by God's grace, my time didn't run out, and you know, he had mercy on me, and I made it into the kingdom. But pray that God will open eyes, and then pray that God will soften a heart. That's key. But if we don't understand that, then we can become extremely frustrated, because over the years, especially as a baby Christian, I would get so frustrated. Why can't you see this? It's not that hard. And yet they look at you like you're from outer space. So pray that their eyes would be open. The Lord says, you're not able. You can't. And if you'd soften your heart toward me, God would open your eyes, but you won't. Look at verse 44. Now he nails it. He just says it. And he didn't say this in response. This was not an emotional response to the fact they said that, you know, he was born in fornication, okay? That he didn't have legitimate parents. See, that's the kind of thing that would get me, you know. I think about all the years of sharing, especially as a baby Christian. You start out doing good, and you're sharing with them, and they won't see them. And finally, it turns into a fight. You're like, well, that's just it. You're like, okay, that was really good. We led them to Christ today, that's for sure, right? And I would pray afterwards, God, have mercy on me. That's not my heart. I don't want to end up fighting with them and driving them away. God knows our weaknesses, doesn't he? And I would say, God, you're greater than I am. So go to their heart and show them that my weakness doesn't nullify your truth. And you speak to them. So Jesus wasn't responding in emotions how sometimes we do. He was simply telling them the truth now. Here's where I said, sometimes we need to hear hard truth. These guys were hard. The Lord's going to deal with them hard. You know what? You guys need to know the truth. You need to know that your father's Satan. And this is going to be a big shock to you, because you think not only is God your father, but you think you're at the top of the rung among God's kids. You're not even in the kingdom. As a matter of fact, you're at the bottom and Satan is your dad. So this wasn't a slam. It was a statement of fact to get their attention. Notice what he says. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. Not just do them, but you want to do them. Again, before we come to Christ, that's how we are. We don't only do them, we want to do those things. And notice he describes Satan here, very interesting. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and he's the father of it. Now, how was he a murderer from the beginning? No doubt he moved, you know, in that whole thing with Cain and Abel, where Cain killed Abel. No doubt he did that and was behind that murder. But again, Cain was the one that actually did it. But remember, murder is more than just physically killing someone. Murder is hatred. Murder is condemning someone's soul to hell. The fallen angels, he started with murder in the kingdom of God. Here's Satan in heaven with the angels. There's the Father. They're created. He decides to go wicked. And let me tell you something. If you don't think this guy's sharp, I'm not giving him more than he's worth. Don't get me wrong. But if he was beautiful enough and deceiving enough and sharp enough to pull a third of the angels with him, what's this guy like? How do you see why he can pull people down his direction as well? He murdered them. He pulled them out of the kingdom. They were in the kingdom. They had eternal glory. He pulled them out. Now, they made the decision, but they followed Satan, and they lost that. That whole paradise lost thing, you know, it was a great application of this kind of thing. And so he's been murdering from the very beginning. He's also been lying. What kind of deceiving lies did he have to tell those angels? And here's what gets me. When they were in heaven, did he talk to the angels thinking God didn't hear them? Again, I don't know how far this went, but do you think you're in heaven going, you know what, follow me. I'll be like God. I'm greater than God. And they're going, don't you know he can hear us? What was happening with the fallen angels? That's a whole other mind blower in itself. And then for that fallen angel to say, yeah, I'll follow you. Wow. Wow. Powerful stuff. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's been doing it from the very beginning, but his end is judgment, and all that follow him will be judged with him. And he says he has no truth in him. So he explains further why they can't hear him. It all boils down to who their father is. Identifies them as children of Satan. You can't receive God's word. And notice you do the things that he does. That shows who you are. Again, a lot of people blame God today for the sin they live in. God made me this way. No, the Bible says they're a child of the devil. God didn't make them that way. They're choosing to follow their father. And they're choosing to do what their father did. They may not understand that. They probably wouldn't come out and say, yes, I think that I am a child of the enemy. But a lot of people are living that way, and they're blaming God for their sin. No, God is a God of righteousness. God's children seek after a path of righteousness. God's children seek a path of the word of God and following it in obedience. Satan's children seek disobedience and rebellion against God. And then to make things worse, they blame it on God. Interesting, desires here means desires, lusts, or cravings. Again, speaking very obviously in the evil way. So what he's saying in essence is, you religious leaders are driven to do these sinful things because that's what your father, Satan, is driven to do. They are in essence voluntary slaves. They're enslaved to their sin, but they're doing it because they want to and they're enjoying it. And again, sin is fun, the Bible says, for a season. And then it brings death. Again, he's a murderer, physical and mental murderer. There's no truth in him. Again, he continually speaks lies. That means there's nothing in him that's believable. And if you truly follow him, if you turn away from God and you're walking as a child of Satan, that's why when someone tries to tell you the truth can't get in because there's no truth in him. He won't allow it in. He blocks it out. And so, again, just revealing, you guys have blocked out the truth because you're following your father, the evil one. Now, I want to make sure, and I think I already said this at the first of the service, but I want to repeat it to make sure you understand. I'm not saying that just because you're not a child of God, automatically you're a child of Satan. Theologians argue that. Some would say, yes, you automatically are in that category. Some say, again, as I said, there's a middle category where you're just unsaved. I don't know. But either way, I know this. If we're not a child of God, we're not getting in the kingdom. And we want to make sure that we don't ever slip into being a child of Satan. And if we're doing the things that Satan likes, if we're mentally hating people and committing murder, if we're living life of lies, then we show that we're following the wrong father. That is not the Father in heaven. Notice verse 45, he says, but because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Why? Because Satan is a father of lies. No truth can get in. So here comes truth. It gets blocked at the door. I won't accept that truth. I'm glad that worked for you. I don't believe that. They block it. Why? Because there's no truth in Satan. Everything in him is a lie. And if he's got someone's life in his grip, they can't allow truth to come in. That's why we have to plant the seeds. God has to get the seed in there, and God has to open the eyes and soften the heart. Satan, at his very essence, is a liar and a murderer, and those that follow him are pulled in by his influence. Notice this, verse 46. What a statement he makes here. Powerful. Which of you convicts me of sin? Wow. If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? What an argument. First of all, he says, who here can convict me of sin? Now, they were making lots of accusations, but Jesus knew no one could prove them. because he knew he'd never sinned. There was nothing they could say, oh yeah, we remember that day. And when you were a kid, because people from Nazareth knew him all the time from he was a kid. They were there at the feast. They said, we remember that time as a kid. Yeah, you threw that rock and broke out that window and you did this. We remember. You know, not that that's a sin if it's an accident, but the point is, we saw you. He'd never done anything. And even the people that knew him from the ministry that were accusing him of things, he said, all right, who right here can convict me? I said, can you imagine being able to say that? If I said that, everybody would stand up in here and go, okay, I've got one thing. Okay, just stop, sit back down. Let's not get into that right now. Let me finish the teaching and we can discuss that later. Jesus could say in front of everybody that's ever existed throughout history, which of you in this huge crowd, imagine all the people of history standing before him, and there stands the Lord, he says, who in here can prove sin that I ever sinned? Silence. Even the Pharisees, they didn't come back and say, well, there was that time. Notice they didn't say anything because they knew they couldn't. And then what a great argument. He goes right into this. Okay, since you acknowledge that you can't prove that I've ever done anything wrong, which obviously is greater than any normal man, so I'm not a normal man, then why don't you believe me? I tell you the truth, why don't you believe me? I think about people today that reject the sayings of the Lord, what Jesus says. Why don't you believe him when you can see that he's perfect, that he's flawless, that he's never been shown to have any sin, that he rose from the dead? Why don't you believe his word? Why didn't I before that? Because we're blinded, powerful. You know, nobody could convict him of anything. And notice what he says lastly, though. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Bottom line, if you know God, you'll understand the Bible. If you don't know God, you won't. Do you understand the Bible? Does the Bible make sense to you? I don't mean every bit of it, like you know all the history and all the background, and you have every detail panned out in the Bible. No one knows that. Even the most learned scholars have things they don't understand. But when you come to know God, God opens up your eyes and you understand the Bible. You understand it. I remember a friend of mine in Nashville right after I came to the Lord. I was trying to share with her and her eyes were closed. They were blinded. I wasn't very mature in the Lord. I wasn't skilled in my witnessing technique. I don't know if I'm that skilled today, but I certainly wasn't then. I was just more of, you know, this is, you need to believe and believe it now. And this is right and make a decision. You know, I wasn't one to beat around the bush. I said, why don't you do this? And we were good enough friends where she would go, you know, well, I just don't see it. It doesn't make sense to me. I said, all right, here's the Bible. I said, go back and read this Bible tonight and let's talk tomorrow. And we were close enough friends where although she was rejecting it, she said, I'll do that. Give me the Bible, I'll go. I talked to her the next day. I said, how did it go? She said, well, I read the Bible like you said, and I threw it across the room. So why did you throw it across the room? She said, it made no sense to me whatsoever, and I just got angry at it. The Lord says here, if you know him, his word will make sense to you. Again, you won't know every bit of it. You won't have all the theology of the world. But it's going to make sense to you. Again, somebody was sharing with me, they went out Thursday with our street witnessing team that goes out, and they were sharing, and they ran across these people. You always run across these people that, you know, that if it's not an alien or a pygmy, it's something else like the Book of Enoch or the Book of Thomas, and it proves this and proves that, and they go on this whole long thing. How do I answer that, Pastor Mark? What do I do? I said, you know what? You don't have all the answers to everything. Get them back to the cross. And I share that with all you guys right now. When you get in these conversations, and Satan tries to pull it in all these directions about wherever he takes it, it's amazing where it can go. Shut that down and say, I don't know that. I never met a pygmy, but if I saw one flying, a flying saucer, then I'd know it's an alien pygmy. Even then, that wouldn't help in this conversation, but I do know Jesus died for you on the cross. He shed his blood, and the Bible says, unless you believe that he died for you, unless you repent of your sins, you can't go to heaven. Well, then what about this? I don't know about that, but I do know that Jesus died on the cross, and unless you confess your sins and repent, you can't get to heaven. Well, then what about this? I don't know about that, but I do know that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for you, and unless you do, there's your answer, guys. You don't have to have all the answers. You've got the answer, the cross, the Son of God, his blood, eternal salvation, necessity to get into heaven. That's the only message the world needs. Now, God, by his grace, gives us more as we grow and we can learn. There's nothing wrong in that. He likes us to grow more, but you don't have to have all the answers. You simply share the truth. And so if you hear God's word, if you're able to hear it, God opens your eyes, you'll hear it, you'll understand it. Again, they don't hear. Why? Because they're not of God. And so again, he shows them, this is why you don't understand the Bible. This is why nothing makes sense to you, because you don't know the Lord. And so imagine their response here, these religious leaders, as the Lord tells them, not only are they not saved, but they're children of Satan. What an amazing and powerful statement. Guys, I want to leave you with three things that are warnings. If you're talking to somebody, even if they say they know the Lord, again, don't be afraid to evaluate. I think sometimes we're afraid to judge. Don't judge, man. Don't judge. Listen, I understand unbiblical judging. We're not to do that. And the Bible even tells us not to unbiblically judge the world. We're not to go around condemning the world. They're already condemned. We do righteously judge within the church to restore brothers and sisters that are falling away. That's a whole other teaching. But we don't go out and condemn the world. They're already condemned. But we have to use some level of judgment to look at the tree and see what's growing on it. So you have to look and say, is this a tree that knows God or is this a tree that doesn't know God? That is not sin. That is not unbiblical judging. That is an evaluation. You are a heavenly fruit inspector. That's all you are. And when you see that the fruit is not good, then that's when you need to start asking more questions. You need to say, look, something's not lining up here and I want you in the kingdom. You say that you're a Christian, but I'm not seeing the fruit of God in your life. Why don't you understand the Bible? Why don't you love God? Here's some things to look for. Number one, warning signs. Again, I know that some Christians backslide. I know that some Christians mess up. We do all from time to time. Not all backslide, but we all mess up from time to time. He's talking about a long-term lifestyle, what we're looking at when we evaluate the fruit on the tree. But number one, does that person understand the Bible or is it just gibberish? And I would say that to you this morning, if you're here, do you understand the Bible or is it just gibberish? Did you sit through this message thinking none of this makes sense to me what Jesus said? And I don't know about this whole Satan thing. And I don't even know if I know Satan exists, but something's happening in my heart as he talks. I feel like maybe there's something true in here. Okay. Then God is drawing you in. You need to respond to that. But if God's word makes no sense to you, if it's gibberish, you don't know him. You have to know him before you can understand his love letter to you. So when you see that someone doesn't understand the Bible, there's your first warning sign, not to judge them, but to know to reach out to them. Secondly, do they reject parts of the Bible that they don't like? That's basically saying, I like Jesus over here, but I don't like him there. I like Jesus here, but I don't like him there. I like his right arm, but I hate his left arm. No, you have to love all of Jesus. And if somebody starts picking and choosing different parts of the Bible that God wrote and that man wrote, you've got an unbeliever. Why is this important? Because if you as a good heavenly fruit inspector can't see that, you're not going to know that there's some disease on that tree. And you're not going to bring out the right pesticide, which is their sin needs to be taken care of, and that's only by the blood of Jesus. So you've got to recognize these things. Thirdly and lastly, do they love Jesus? If you don't love Jesus, you don't know him. But if you know Jesus, you can't help but love him. So for us as believers, let's use these principles. Let's understand what we're looking for when we're sharing. Let's pray for God to open eyes of the unbeliever. But if you're here today and these things don't apply to you, saying, you know what, all those things that you said are signs or warnings of an unbeliever, that's me, then you need to receive Christ. The Bible says there's only one way to get into heaven. You've got sin. That sin is keeping you out of heaven right now. You can't get in. You were born that way. I'm not judging what you've done throughout your life. You were already born in sin. If you didn't do anything wrong from the day you were a baby, you can't go to heaven. You can't get into heaven. If you lived a sinless life, you could not go to heaven. Why? Because the Bible says you were born with sin in your blood. You inherited it from Adam. You were born, sin was coursing through your veins while you were still a baby. In your mother's womb, you were guilty. So it doesn't matter how good you live, you can't get into heaven. So what do? I got to confess it. Okay, God, I understand now. I'm guilty before heaven. I have sin. Jesus died for that on a cross. Somebody had to pay for it. It doesn't just go away. God can't just wink and say, come on in, big guy. Yeah, you know? Somebody has got to pay for it. Why? Because he's righteous. He's righteous. He can't just gloss over it. He's loving, he's forgiving, but he's righteous. Righteousness demands judgment. He looks at me and goes, I want Mark in heaven. I love Mark. I died for Mark, but if Mark doesn't take the payment for his sin, I can't let him in. Mark, make a decision. And so Mark made a decision. What about you this morning? Jesus died for your sin on the cross. You have to make a decision about that and say, forgive me, God. I believe you paid for my sin on that cross. Be my Lord and my Savior. And the Bible says if you do that, his blood covers your sin. It's now been paid for. Justice in heaven has been taken care of. And now you're a member of the kingdom of God.
The Gospel of John is home to one of the most well-known verses ever, John 3:16. It gives you the message of hope right there in one sentence. God sent his son to save the world. But the next verse, verse 17, is also significant. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Pastor Mark has something to say about this too.
Yes, Greg, I think you need to know that your life isn't a surprise to Jesus. Maybe you've been feeling like you're too far down the wrong path to turn around, or maybe you're afraid God's going to punish you for all you've done. That verse is there to give you hope. God didn't send Jesus to condemn you. In fact, Jesus' death on the cross forgives all your mistakes and failures. He's enough.
And all you need to do is come to Him and hand over your sin. Would you like to talk to someone about this? Please call us. We'd love to hear from you. Our number is 865-609-1385. Or reach out to us through the About Us section on PastorMarkKirk.com. Never forget that His mercies are new every morning. And I'm excited you're ready to start a new life today. And know that I'm praying for you.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. And with that, we're out of time. But Pastor Mark has more verses to share with us from the book of John. So make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.